If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning and saving for a new baby can be a challenge, especially when you don't know exactly what you'll need. With each new day that passes, your wallet is shrinking. Hi, I'm Vicki Wolfram, a midwife who also offers pregnancy concierge and baby planning services. And today, we'll reveal practical ways to help you save money during pregnancy. This is Preggy Pals, Episode 9.
Is that a plus sign?
Pink or blue?
Hospital or home birth?
What type of food should I be eating?
I think I just peed myself.
I'm pregnant and I have to exercise.
What pregnancy glow?
Wait, was that a contraction?
Gotta make these pants fit.
I've got kinkles.
What do you mean there's more than one?
You've got the symptoms and now you've got the support you need for a happy 9 months. This is Preggy Pals, your pregnancy your way. Welcome to Preggy Pals, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. I'm your host, Sunny Galt. We would love for you to become part of our show. Simply visit our website at preggypals.com for more information. You can send us comments or suggestions through the contact link on our website. And you can even call the Preggy Pals hotline at 619-866-4775. Preggy Pals is also looking for pregnant women to join our blogging team. Send us an email through our website if you're interested. All right, let's start with our introductions. And Kelly, why don't you kick things off?
Hi, I'm Kelly. I am a kindergarten teacher. I'm due June 23rd with our first. It's going to be a surprise with a boy or girl. And we are having a natural home birth.
I almost feel like I can just say ditto.
You guys are so similar. Yeah. It's crazy.
I'm Cherry. I work in market research and I am also due on the 23rd of June. We are expecting our first child. We don't know whether it's a boy or a girl and we are planning to have our baby at home.
All right. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Here's a message from one of our listeners.
Hi, Preggy Pals. I'm Ashley from San Diego, California. I was laughing so hard when I heard your recent episode on baby showers. My husband and I want to have a co-ed baby shower, and I loved Kelly's idea for a game where the guys have to chug out of baby bottles. I was wondering if you can suggest other games for co-ed baby showers, or if you know of any additional resources where I can get some great ideas. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for your message, Ashley. Okay, so I did a little bit of research on this whole co-ed shower game thing. What I have learned, and my husband verified, is that guys usually like the types of games that are more physical. So I did a little bit of research online, and I found three games that at least has been approved by my husband. I'm sure every guy is different. But here are some ideas to consider. Okay, so the first game is called Diaper Tag Team, and what you need for this is a cloth diaper, some safety pins, a doll, or perhaps a teddy bear, and then, of course, some quick fingers. And this is what you're going to do. You're going to have your guests get into teams of two, and each team is timed with a stopwatch. Watch as they basically try to put this diaper onto this doll. And each team member can only use one hand, and then the expectant mother judges who is the winner based on the quality of the diaper job and how fast it was done. Not only is this kind of fun for the guys, but hey, let's face it, we're kind of training them to learn how to put on diapers, so there's something in it for us, right? Okay, the next game is called Baby Stroller NASCAR Race, and just the title of this kind of screams guy, doesn't it? So basically, all you're going to do before the shower, you're going to have a stroller, you're going to put a doll in the stroller, perhaps the doll from the diaper tag team. team. Put the doll on the stroller, and then you're going to have a race. This does need to take place outside in your yard. Each guest is going to have a turn at racing the stroller through the race course as fast as they can, and you need to time each guest and then write down their time. And you're going to add a second if they hit a cone, add 5 seconds to their time if the baby falls out of the stroller, hopefully not. Of course, the fastest time wins, and you can crown them king and queen of the NASCAR race. So that's kind of a fun one, too. And the last one could be fun for all. It's called How Prego Can You Go? Before the baby shower, you're going to buy about 200 medium-sized balloons, and then you're going to borrow or buy 4 to 5 XXL shirts as well as XXL pants. You need to create enough clothing for about 2 to 3 teams. And this is how it works. During the shower, you're going to divide your guests into 4 or 5 people on each team. And you're going to have each team choose who's going to be pregnant. And then you're going to give each team 1 large shirt, 1 large pair of pants, and about 50 balloons. When you say go, the pregnant team member of each team is going to have to put on the shirt and pants as quickly as they can while their teammates start to blow up the balloons. And when the pregnant one is dressed, the teammates will begin stuffing the inflated balloons as fast as they can into the shirt and pants of the pregnant one. And after 3 minutes, everyone must stop stuffing the balloons, and the winning team is the one that has the most pregnant team member. I like this one because maybe just for a few seconds, the guys kind of get an idea of what it's like to be pregnant and kind of like inflated, so to speak. So these are kind of some cool ideas. If you try them out, be sure to let us know how it goes. And thanks so much for the question. Let's face it, babies are expensive. There are many items you'll need, especially if you're a first-time parent. And while you may have to expand your overall budget, you don't have to break it. Here to help us save money throughout pregnancy is Vicki Wolfram. Her company, Best Baby Ever, offers pregnancy concierge and baby planning services right here in San Diego. Vicki, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Nice to see you again.
I'm so happy to be here.
So in your opinion, do most parents typically spend more money than they need to spend during pregnancy?
I believe most parents do spend more money than they need to, and they oftentimes spend it on things that they don't really need.
Yeah. Why do we do that?
Because we love to buy baby stuff.
It's so much fun.
It's so much fun, yeah.
Well, I know one of the things you do is you go out there and you look for different products, and you sometimes help people purchase these products, right?
That is one of the things that a baby planner does. And just to start off, I'd like to say that I think planning ahead is a really important part, especially when it comes to saving a little bit of extra money so that you can spend on the fun things. And for example, if you're planning to get pregnant and you're not pregnant yet, most people will go into their doctor and get a checkup and make sure that everything is good for them to start on their journey to get pregnant. And at that same time, if you start a pregnancy piggy bank or a pregnancy jar, every time you pass up a Starbucks or every time don't indulge on something, put that little bit of extra cash in the pregnancy jar, and you'll start having a little savings fund that you can use to buy things during pregnancy.
Right. Well, if you start this, even if you don't start this, you know, when you're trying to get pregnant, because some people it's like, oh, we're pregnant, right?
Yep, that's it.
You still have 9 months, you know, to kind of, you know, create this budget and put some money in your little piggy bank. So it can still be done at that time, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I think that's really an important idea, is to create a budget and to, you know, to kind of approach it like you would a wedding. You have a lot of expenses that you're going to be needing to cover over the next 2 years, actually. Mm-hmm. And so it's good to have a budget for that and try to stick to it.
Yeah. What are some of the common mistakes parents make?
I think that a lot of times, you know, there are some big items that that are really essential. And for example, your baby stroller. Mm-hmm. I think it's something that really it requires some research to figure out what's your lifestyle like. Where would you be most likely to use this stroller? How big of an investment can you make in a stroller? And to really do some research, because strollers can cost anywhere from $100 to $1,000. But if you are planning to buy one of the more expensive strollers, that would be a good thing to put on your shower registry and see if maybe you have a bunch of friends that want to go in and help you out with.
All right, let's jump right into this. So what are some practical ways new parents can save money during pregnancy?
Well, first of all, as far as clothing goes, and I'll ask these ladies what they did. I mean, the great thing is now is that you can show off your belly and you don't have to be stuck with maternity clothes. You know, if you can borrow clothes from friends, if you can do a clothing exchange with other moms is a great idea, because even if they're not all maternity clothes, the idea is to get a group of maybe 10 friends to all bring clothes that they would be passing on to the Goodwill or something, and then just freely exchange. No money passes, you know, hands. And you can, you know, even sometimes if you have a friend that's a little bit bigger than you are, you know, you can get some of her t-shirts and that will get you through the first part of pregnancy. And you can do that for free.
Have any of you guys tried anything like this? I've heard of these swaps, but I've never actually been to one.
Yeah, I was really lucky when I was probably only about 3 months along. I was up for the holidays around Christmas time, and I had two just friends. You know, they had boxes of their maternity clothes, which they said, it's all really cute, but I just cannot imagine wearing it not being pregnant. You know, there are some things that you could wear, but to them, it just screams pregnancy. Right. And I came back. At that point, I had jeans to wear. I had sweaters. I had dresses, you know, tons of stuff. And then luckily, I have an older sister, too, who gave me a ton of stuff. So really, maternity clothes were something I didn't have to buy, besides maybe some bras or some more specific things. But it was something that's a lot of money, and it's really uncomfortable when you're trying to make yourself still fit into your regular clothes because you don't want to buy it yet. So I highly suggest it was something awesome, and I knew they wanted to get it off their hands. Yeah. And they said, if you end up buying anything when you're pregnant, like, put it back in the box and
pass it along.
You know, yeah, they'll wear it for their second pregnancy or something.
Yeah, I did something similar. I got some clothes from a friend of mine. She had given all of them to a mutual friend of ours, and she was just coming back to work as I was telling everyone I was pregnant. So we did sort of like a handoff, and she gave me the whole big bag of clothes that 6 months previously or 7 months previously she had received. And it was great. And it was a little bit of a unique situation for me because I had just lost a lot of weight. And so even though I knew I was about to gain a lot of weight, part of me kind of wanted to have my own clothes. And so I did splurge a little bit and go and buy some stuff, but my definition of splurging was still, you know, the sale rack and the clearance rack, and it was just buying something for me. I just couldn't see. I know a lot of people who spent, you know, $250 on a pair of maternity jeans, and they're like, but you're going to live in them for 9 months. And to me, I'm like, yeah, but you're only going to have them for 9 months. Yeah. So I did just fine with a pair of jeans that were $30 and, you right. know, that sort of thing. So,
well, you know, another interesting idea that has come, you know, come out recently is rent maternity clothes or borrow for your bump.com. That's the other one.
Cute name.
And if you had to go to a wedding, let's say, and you needed a very fancy dress, you could rent it for the week or the month. You can rent designer jeans. And, you know, if you grow out of them, you just send them back and rent a larger pair. I can't say that it's more cost effective. It's much better to get clothes from friends as far mm-hmm. as cost effectiveness. But it is a fun way to maybe have a couple of high-end things. And I think especially for women who are pregnant who have to be in the business world yeah. and have to dress up every day, both the rent a maternity outfit idea and also the resale stores, because there's a lot of you know, more high-end resales both online and in the community if people take a look at that.
Yeah, that was my challenge too, was my sister-in-law, even though she lives on the East Coast, she was great about sending back a whole bunch of clothes for me, but she worked from home during her first pregnancy and then was pretty much a stay-at-home mom for her second and her third.
Yeah.
And so the clothes that she sent me that she lived in throughout her pregnancy were just not appropriate for me to wear to work. And so that was kind of what pushed me to buy a couple of clothes. But two other things that I looked into that were great were Free Cycle. I don't know if anyone's familiar with Free Cycle, but lots of people posting things on there that it's basically like an exchange. People who don't want to send their things to the dump, and they'll post and say, hey, I have, you know, an old TV, it works just great, but we're getting a new one, anyone want it, and someone will come pick it up. So I looked there, as well as eBay and Craigslist, lots of people selling just a lot of clothes, saying, you know, 35 pieces, size medium. Mm-hmm. mix and match, take it all kind of thing. So those were also things that I never actually did, but I looked into and looked like there were good ways to save money.
We've talked about maternity clothes, but can the same principles be applied to baby clothes as well?
Absolutely, although I think people are a little bit more likely to want to splurge and buy new things for their baby. But I think just from the perspective that, you know, if you are an ecologically minded mom, it, you know, most baby clothes get worn so little, and they can certainly be washed and be perfectly fine to share from baby to baby to baby. And I think it's also really fun within families or within friend groups if you have special outfits that your baby wore, and then you get to see your sister's baby wearing it or a friend's baby wearing it. It just brings back such, you know, wonderful feelings when you think, oh, remember when John wore that little cute outfit. Right. So I think it's a wonderful thing to share clothes amongst friends, and especially baby clothes. People usually have bags of them,
and then you don't know what to do with it after, you know, if you're not going to have any more kids. Yeah. You know, and it's just like, well, you know, what am I going to do with all these clothes?
And then it's always good if you have them out there in circulation in case you have a little surprise down the line.
Maybe you can ask for those clothes back.
Yes. I've had a few clients that had that happen to them, and they're like, oh, I just gave away everything, you know.
Yeah, and it's important to realize too, it's not all or nothing. Like, you know, you can buy new baby clothes but also get some hand-me-downs too, so maybe that way you're just not spending as much money.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I think one area to really think about is the diaper issue, both from the ecological perspective and also from the money-saving perspective. And I know a lot of people are very wary about using cloth diapers, but I would imagine these ladies would be open to that. But the most economical is to buy your own diapers and covers and to wash them yourself. And, you know, doing that, you can definitely save at least $300 a year, or if not more than that. And so it can be very economical. But even if you use half and half, or you use, you know, paper diapers when the baby has to go to grandma's house and cloth diapers when you're at home, although grandma should be more used to cloth diapers than
anyone, right?
Yeah.
I have a quick question about the cloth diapers. I'm very interested in it. It's just something way, way down on the long list of things that I have to figure out how to do in the next 4 weeks.
Yeah.
It had been recommended to me that if I really was interested in doing it, that I consider a service, just because people were saying it's just so much time and so much work and you don't really know what you're getting yourself into. And I kind of saw that part of the reason I was doing it is from the green aspect, and part of it was from a money-saving aspect. So to be paying someone else to be providing the service to me kind of seemed to defeat the point a little bit, but I haven't actually looked into it that much. I was just wondering what your perspective on that was.
Well, actually, the diaper service is probably the least economical. I won't say it's not a great idea, and it may be, especially for a working mom, it may be the most economical, because you have to figure out what your time is worth, because, you know, your time is very valuable, and it's worth a lot more than, you know, you would imagine if you put a number on it. As I said, the least expensive is to buy your own diapers. And I think this came from Julie Scott at the Mint Life blog. She figured out, you know, she did all the calculations. If you bought the different size of the diaper covers and the diaper liners and all those things, doing your own, she came up with a cost of about $584 for the first year, and doing disposables, $800. And there was someone who calculated it out for 3 years, and for 3 years it was $1,400 versus $2,600. Wow. So the savings really can be quite significant. Diaper service, you know, it's different in every community, and in our community, it's somewhere between $20 and $25 per month, and then you do still need to buy your own diaper covers. So that's a cost that factors in there, and you do have to wash your own diaper covers. But even at $20 a week, which would, you know, probably be available in other communities as well, you would end up spending about $1,000 for the first year versus $800 with the disposables and $580 with the wash your own. So there definitely is a cost advantage to the wash your own. But again, as I said, if you're very busy, if you have other children, if you have a job, you know, your time might be so much more valuable that it would, easily, that $200 would be easily be worth it to pay the extra amount to have somebody else do it for you. And it's, I mean, I had diaper service with my last two children, and it was absolutely wonderful, you know, fresh, clean diapers
delivered to your front door.
Yes, right. you just throw them all in the bin and they take them away. And it was wonderful, I have to say.
So if we are going to buy products that are new, what recommendations do you have? Are there ways to save money if we know that, listen, you know, we're just going to go to a store and get this? How can we save money that way?
Well, there's three great ways to save money. The first one is on big purchases to do your research, figure out what you think you want, and then do a comparison shopping online. Because I found huge differences. And a lot of times we think of the big stores like Target, Babies R Us, Walmart, Bye Bye Baby, et cetera, as having the best prices. Mm-hmm. But I know one of the things I looked at was a Dooley Revolution stroller. Mm-hmm. And the lowest price online was $4.99. And I think at Target it was like, $6.59. And at Bye Bye Baby it was $6.79. And, you know, other stores it went up from there because the retail price is about $825. Wow. So from $825 down to $4.99, it's a pretty big difference. You're saving a lot of money, saving more than you would on those diapers. And how you can do some comparison shopping, there's one really great site. It's called Leela, Leela.com, and they have baby products and electronics so far. I'm sure they're planning to expand. It's a fairly new site. And you go on there and you put in what stroller you might be interested in looking at, and they'll tell you the cheapest price. And that takes you right to the site of the company that has the cheapest price. Oh. And so that it just makes it very, very easy for you. So if you kind of scrolled through all their strollers and you found one that you had been thinking about buying, you just click on it and it pops up and it says, you know, cheapest price, $4.99, Amazon.com. And you click on Amazon and it takes you right there and you can do one click shopping. And that's not a way to save money, by the way, the one click shopping.
Well, you know, and one thing I want to bring up too is if you find a good deal online, sometimes if you go back to the store and you said, I found this online, I can either purchase this online, or if you want a price match, I can purchase it through you. Sometimes that works.
Right. I think that is true. And it really does depend on the store and how much of a discount, you know, they're offering. But I would always ask for a discount or ask for a price comparison, because a lot of, especially big stores, will do it.
Right.
I think the other thing is to, you know, be a coupon shopper. I never realized how much you could save by, you know, using coupons. And the great thing now is that you don't have to, you know, look through the Sunday paper and pick out, like, you know, 20 cents off of a box of Kraft Dinner or something. You can, you know, anything you want, pretty much, you can go online and type in the name and with coupon, and, you know, a lot of times there'll be a coupon either for the product itself or for the store. And many times you can get, you know, quite a significant discount by...
And a lot of the stores will accept competitors' coupons from what
exactly.
We've seen. So that's kind of, you definitely can take that coupon in at 20% at this store and they'll give it to you at another one. So.
Or they may not, I mean, don't let the expiration date fool you, because a lot of times they'll accept, you know, past the expiration date as well.
Yeah. And I think that's part of it is, you know, negotiate even with services while you're pregnant. A lot of, you know, new moms are looking for lactation consultants, for doulas, for, you know, baby sign language classes, things like that. And a lot of times you can ask for a discount, ask for a military discount, ask for, you know, a AAA discount, you know, because people, they do want to provide services. And a lot of time, if that's what it takes, they're willing to give you a little something off. And every little bit helps.
I was going to say, and if all else fails, try the pregnancy pity card. You know, you just, you know, but I'm pregnant. Isn't there any discount you can give me?
The pregnant discount, yeah.
Right, exactly. Okay, well, we want to talk more about the different discounts out there and how we can save money. We will be right back. All right, welcome back. We are talking about how we can save money during pregnancy. And Vicki, there's a couple things that I wanted to talk to you about. When it comes to the providers, you know, our medical providers that we have, there are some ways to save money in that area too, simply by watching our insurance and making sure that we're choosing providers within our insurance plans, right?
That's correct. And I think that's very important before you get pregnant or when you're very first pregnant, to go on the website for your insurance plan, find out who are the doctors that are covered as either preferred providers or in-network providers, and, you know, try to visit a couple of those and make your decision between those if it's possible. If there is a doctor in a hospital that is a preferred provider for your plan, that's the most economical because you're going to get the most benefit from your insurance coverage. But I would also suggest that if you don't find a provider or you decide that you want to have a birth center or home birth, don't automatically assume that it's not covered, because it may be covered or there may be some coverage. And it's really the most important is to decide what's the best birth for you, the healthiest birth for you, and, you know, choose it not based on money, but on what your vision of your birth is.
So we happen to have two women here who are planning home birth. So I have to ask you guys, what led to that decision? I mean, did you consider the finances involved with this?
I did, but for me, I've kind of felt like this was a once-in-a-lifetime thing. I spend a lot of, well, hopefully more than once in a lifetime, but I could count how many times on one hand I was going to do this. And I spent way more money on frivolous things for my wedding. And so this was something that I knew before I got pregnant that I wanted to have a home birth. And what I didn't realize was, because initially when I was first pregnant and I went to go and see an OB before I started seeing my midwife, and they explained to me that the first time I would be there, I'd have a $30 copay. And then from every appointment on, I wouldn't have any copay. And that was kind of a moment where I was like, wow, do I really want to go and spend a few thousand dollars on this home birth and, you know, that $30 copay, that one-time copay? Well, what I didn't think about was, yeah, that's for my care. That doesn't count when I get to the hospital and then I have to get the charges from labor and delivery and from the pediatrician and from the nurse and from every time they come by and, you know, give me a tissue, whatever they're charging me for. And so I really evaluated all of it and worked out that it was going to be at least the same, if not less, for me to have the home birth. And it was something that I'd been saving for. You talked about starting a savings fund. You know, pretty much the day we got married, we started saving to have a baby, even though we had no clue when that was going to be.
Wow,
we
just, you're so prepared. I'm so
not,
impressed.
I'm not really that organized in my life, but this was just one thing that I just thought would be a good thing to start saving for. So
yeah. What about you, Kelly?
Our decision for the home birth kind of came through a huge need of a splurge of having to do IVF to get pregnant. There was obviously a huge amount of cost and sort of savings and kind of taking money out of house fund in order for that. But I said, what's a house if you don't have a baby to put it in? So we kind of got to the point. And so having a home birth was a little bit of a decision that came from such a unnatural process to get pregnant and so medically involved. And thank God for science that we were able to get pregnant using that. But it was regaining a little bit of what was natural and what was supposed to be and what, you know, my body was supposed to do and kind of simplifying. So when we looked at the cost of obviously IVF, anything is cheaper.
Everything's
than
cheaper.
That. Yeah, exactly. But it was kind of the same thing that Cherry said. It was worth it to us. And when we looked at a lot of the factors, it actually seemed more cost effective. And to be able to, we are having our home birth through an OB though. So, and he is, you know, I have a PPO, so he's through that. And so there's a lot of that will be covered by insurance. But, you know, I think it's just a give and take when it comes to bringing your baby into the world. Yeah. I think anybody's willing to kind of quote-unquote splurge on that to get exactly the experience that you want. And maybe that means we have a cheaper stroller or a cheaper crib or, you know, less clothes. But that particular moment was worth it to us in the long run. So give and take.
And one thing that helped us, and I know not everyone may have access to this, but if you have an employer that gives you the option of having some sort of a health spending account or a flexible spending account, you know, we knew we were going to probably try and have a baby. And the year that I had to make that decision, I put in a large amount of money into that and it came out pre-tax. And so, you know, if you're at a 20 or 25% or 30% tax bracket, that's a 30% discount that you're now giving yourself to use towards medical expenses.
experiences. And it covered all sorts of things like my hypnobirthing classes and anything that was pretty much medically necessary, every ultrasound, that sort of thing.
Yeah. The other thing that I think people don't realize is that there are ancillary services that are now being covered by insurances. So, for example, you can have a lactation consultant come to your home after the birth of the baby, or even prenatally, and do a private prenatal breastfeeding class if you have some special, you know, issues. You're having twins, or you might have a premature baby, things like that. And most insurances now do cover that, and at least cover it in part. They might cover it as an out-of-network charge, but at least they'll pay something. And also, there's a lot more insurances now that are starting to cover doulas and postpartum doulas. And so people, oftentimes, they don't even look into this because they just assume this is not covered by their insurance. But more and more, it is being covered by insurances.
Yeah, so check your policy, right?
Yeah.
I actually had a girlfriend who told me to look into her insurance covering her breast pump. She was able to have the doctor, she was going back to work, so the need to pump, you know, was considered necessary. And so, you know, I'm not sure what the doctor specifically did, wrote a note, and she got her breast pump through her insurance company. So something I've been meaning to do in the next 5 weeks.
My insurance company actually does cover it. It does have to be medically necessary. So they said, for your convenience, does not count as a reason. But if there was a medical reason, they would cover it. And it just had to be purchased after the baby was born, because obviously, how can you say there's a
medical
reason when you bought it at 34 weeks? So.
Yeah. And there is you know, special programs through WIC where moms that don't have any funds can rent a breast pump for free. And so there's always, like, if you do have a medical necessity and you need a breast pump and you don't have insurance or you don't have the financial resources to pay for it, you know, that's available.
Okay, Vicky, thank you so much for joining us today and for talking about all this. I think there's some really good information there, some good takeaways for our audience.
Thank you so much. And I hope that all the pregnant moms out there will save their pennies and do something nice for themselves.
I know. We all need to do that. We need to do a better job of that, I think so.
Well, ever since you mentioned this, the foregoing the Starbucks, all I've had on my brain is, oh, I want a maybe soy latte.
Maybe that's because I have the Starbucks cup over here. All right. Yeah. If you want to learn more about Vicky and her services and her company, you can visit our episodes page on our website and look for today's topic, which is saving money during pregnancy. Before we wrap today's show, here are some great tips to help you prepare for breastfeeding.
Hi, Preggy Pals listeners. I'm Robin Kaplan, an international board certified lactation consultant, owner of the San Diego Breastfeeding Center, and the host and producer of Preggy Pals sister show, The Boob Group. I'm here to offer some advice on what you can do during pregnancy to prepare for a positive breastfeeding experience, such as take a prenatal breastfeeding class. As many of us prepare for our first child, we take childbirth classes and spend hours on the internet researching the best car seats and strollers we can find. Yet one thing that often falls by the wayside is taking a breastfeeding class. We figure that breastfeeding is something that should just come naturally, so we will just learn on the job. For some new moms, that works out just fine. The baby is born, he latches beautifully, the mom's milk supply comes in, and everybody's happy. However, for most of us, not taking a breastfeeding class can actually be a real detriment to this breastfeeding process. Unfortunately, many of us new moms are given incorrect information about how a milk supply is established, how often a newborn should breastfeed, and what signs to look for if something is not going quite right. We also hear tons of horror stories about sore nipples and low milk supply. So how can we expect to succeed if we don't know what normal breastfeeding looks like? A fantastic breastfeeding class should cover all of this, like what to expect in those first few weeks of breastfeeding, positioning and latch, which signs indicate that your baby is getting enough, and also common breastfeeding concerns. And since breastfeeding is not something you can practice before your baby arrives, your breastfeeding class should also go over local resources you might need for breastfeeding support after your baby is born. I also highly recommend bringing your partner with you to this breastfeeding class. First of all, it is important for your partner to be aware of what you will be working on to establish a positive breastfeeding experience. Secondly, your partner will be able to assist you more easily if he or she actually knows what to look for. And thirdly, your partner will hopefully be your cheerleader during this process of getting breastfeeding off to a great start. So the goal is for him or her to come away with some tangible ways to help you during this process. So, my advice is to Google which breastfeeding classes are being offered in your area and plan to attend one during your 7th or 8th month of pregnancy. I promise you, it will be worth your time. For more great information about what you can do during pregnancy to prepare for a positive breastfeeding experience, check out my blog at sandiegobreastfeedingcenter.com/blog, and be sure to listen to Preggy Pals in the Boob Group for fantastic conversations about breastfeeding and breastfeeding support.
That wraps up our show for today. If you have a pregnancy topic you'd like to suggest, we would love to hear it. You can visit our website, which is preggypals.com, and send us an email through the contact link. If you have any questions about today's show or the topics we've discussed, call our Preggy Pals hotline at 619-866-4775, and we'll answer your question on an upcoming episode. For those of you already past your due date, next week's episode is just for you. We're going to discuss some ways you can help speed up the process and induce your labor naturally. Thanks for listening to Preggy Pals, your pregnancy your way.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.